Good morning, everyone. So I mentioned over the course of the last couple weeks that right now we're at a time in the gospel where we're really kind of reaching a pivotal point, a turning point in the story. Right? From that moment when Jesus left Caesarea Philippi, where Peter proclaimed him to be the Christ, where he said, you know, where he made Peter the first pope, the foundation on which our church is built. From that moment forward, we hear that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. Right? And that setting his face means that now everything that he's doing has a newfound vigor, has a newfound fervor. Because now he's moving to his ultimate destiny. Right? Everything that he's doing now is preparing him for the cross. So, where we find ourselves today, or where we'll find ourselves over the course of the coming weeks now, is Jesus preparing his apostles, preparing those men that he's going to turn his church over to, preparing them in an ever greater, ever more specific way. And today I think we get a taste into the preparation that he's giving them. Because today, Jesus talks to them about the painful effects of sin. You know, we hear him say that it'd be better for a person to have a millstone around their neck and be thrown into the sea rather than causing scandal, rather than causing someone else to fall into sin. You know, and then he even ramps it up even a little bit more. He says, you know, be honest with yourself. If there's an area where you find yourself falling into sin, you need to take those precautions to make sure that you root that out of your life. He says, you know, if it's your hand, your eye, your foot, whatever it may be, we need to take away those temptations. We need to avoid those near occasions of sin, so to speak. We need to root those things out of our life. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus, he's speaking here, you know, in a hyperbolic way. He's not, I mean, I don't want people to come back next week with, you know, no foot, no hand, no eye. I'm not saying that. But at the same time, I think we also risk not taking Jesus all that seriously. Because while Jesus doesn't mean these things literally, he's using ramped up, harsh language for a reason. He's telling us, listen, you need to take your sin seriously. You need to see the sin as the plague that it really is. Right? Because sin is one of those things that, I mean, it is. It's like a cancer. As it begins to infect our body, it begins to spread everywhere else. And so what Jesus is saying, he says, take this seriously. Understand that this needs to be something that you root out of your life. Right? This is not something to play around with. You know, as I was praying, as I was meditating with this gospel this week, I recalled a talk once that I heard about forest fires. And my brother, he lives in Los Angeles. And so, as you see, if you turn on the news, I mean, there's always fires ravaging throughout the Northwest or throughout the West Coast. And back about 6 months ago, when one of those fires kind of got out of control, thank God it never got close to where my brother was, but he sent me a picture. It was late at night, and the sky was like this blood red orange. I mean, it was terrifying. I mean, he was probably 100 miles away from this thing, but he could still see the, you know, I mean, it looked like the sky was on fire, frankly. You know, and he was telling me, you know, just there on the news, he said, this is not something to be messed with. I mean, the amount of damage that these things can do. I mean, the terrifying power that they have, it's incredible. And so as I was kind of listening to this talk on forest fires, they say the problem with these things, the reason why these things rage out of control is because what happens over time is as these trees die, as the branches die, all this dead wood collects on the forest floor, along with brush and all these other areas. And so all it takes, I mean, is a spark, so to speak, and then the whole thing can go up in flames. It can get out of control very, very quickly. And the thing is, so as this dead wood continues to pile up, these fires can burn so hot that it completely destroys all the topsoil. So that not only does it destroy the forest, but it destroys the capacity for anything to grow there again. It turns it into an arid wasteland. But what's also amazing is that trees over you know, centuries and thousands, if not millions of years, they've evolved to the point to where they can withstand fires to a certain degree. In fact, there are some trees that thrive on, on having fires of a certain magnitude. So one day, back about a couple of years ago, I was backpacking through Yosemite National Park in California. It's a beautiful park. Anybody who's been there knows what I'm talking about. It's just absolutely gorgeous. So I was with my family. We did it was a 4-day trip. We started up in the mountain regions and we worked our way down into the valley. And about day 3 or so, as we were coming down, I saw one of these areas that had been ravaged by a fire. And actually the path that we were on, it went right through that. And so, you know, I mean, this was in our field of vision for hours on end. I knew it was coming. And it was terrible because it was such an eyesore. So I began to ask myself, I said, especially as I was walking through it, I mean, again, it's this beautiful, lush area, and then all of a sudden you're in this absolute burnt patch. So I asked myself, what made this possible? I mean, who wasn't doing what they were supposed to? Why did we allow this fire to happen in this area? So actually, when we finished up a couple days later, I went and I asked the park ranger, I said, so why did this happen? I mean, did it just get too dry or what happened? And he says, oh, no, we set that fire on purpose. I said, why on earth would you do that? Why purposefully set a forest fire? And so he began to explain to me what I was saying. He says, so the problem is all that dead wood, it accumulates over time. And he says, every now and again, if we're not prepared for this, if that spark comes, you risk burning the whole park down, so to speak. So what they do is they have these controlled burns. These burns in which they know, in which they bring the fight to the fire itself. They bring the fight to that dead wood as opposed to waiting for it to come to them. And what was most fascinating, too, was that there are certain trees. So the big redwood trees, the sequoia trees. Anybody who's seen these in Northern California, they're the most incredible things in the Sierra Nevadas. I mean, these trees, I think they can get over 300 feet tall. In fact, there's one tree, I think it's the General Sherman. The circumference of this tree is like 105 feet. Right? Some of these trees it's in one of the national parks, either Sequoia or Redwood. You can drive a car throughout the hollowed area of it. That's how massive these things are. It's a 2-lane road. I mean, absolutely gargantuan, massive. Right? These trees, they've been around for over 2,000 years. Before Jesus walked the planet, they were there. And so what this park ranger told me is some of these trees are found in Yosemite. And he said that they realized as they begin doing these controlled burns that as that happened, these trees, they would let off their seeds. They'd germinate if they had fire because they've evolved over all these years to withstand that. And in fact, now they thrive on it. And so what they realized back about 4 or 5 decades ago was that they need to have these things, not only to burn off all that dead wood, but not only that, but that leads to the most majestic of trees, the most solid, the most stable, the most beautiful of trees. So why am I taking you through this National Geographic documentary? The reason why I do this is because I think this is a perfect example, a perfect image of what we see in the gospel today. Because what I think is sin piles up in our life like dead wood. And you know what? Just like for all those centuries too, we think, okay, yeah, I know it's piling up. It's not a problem. I'll just continue to let it be there. But as we all know, all it takes is a small spark, and all of a sudden it feels like our life is up in flames. If we tolerate sin for too long, right, all that combustible material, it begins to pile up. And before we know it, we're wondering, what happened? How did I get here? What allowed this to happen? Whereas if we have that controlled burn in our life, right, where if we recognize sin for the cancer and the problem that it is, right, if we take the fight to it as opposed to waiting for it to come to us, right, we're fighting it on our territory as opposed to it fighting on our, as opposed to us fighting on its. And not only that, but by God's grace too, right, we have the capacity now to withstand those fires. Now, don't get me wrong, they're not going to be fun. It's never going to be great. But we have the capacity to withstand it. And in fact, just like those great sequoia trees, just like those most beautiful, those most majestic of all trees, right? They thrive on that fire. That is where you see the best in them. And you see, in the midst of this metaphor, I would say those trees, those most majestic of trees, those are the saints of our church. You look at our saints, right? They were forged in the fire of suffering, of difficulty, right? But even in the midst of that, they didn't use that as an excuse for sin. In fact, they used that as something that literally brought out the best in them. Right? They recognize that all that dead wood in their life, it's exactly that. It's dead. Sin adds nothing to our life. All it is it's a cancer. It's something that needs to be rooted out. And this is the thing, too, because I know this. We all have that favorite sin that we like to turn back to, that favorite sin that we turn back to for comfort. And we're scared because we think, look, if I set this on fire, I don't know how much of my life will be left. I can't picture my life without this. But if we trust Jesus, if we trust what he tells us in the gospel, if we recognize that that sin is nothing more than dead debris that risks setting our life up in flames, if we can root that out, then too we can blossom into the great saints that every single one of us is called to be. You see, my friends, I think that our church, I think we're going through this right now. All the filth that has piled up over the church over the course of the last century, all of that now is coming to light. And praise God it is. Because all that is, that's dead wood. That's dead wood that's got to be set up in flames. And the thing is, the reason why I say thank God we're seeing this now is because now we have the opportunity to bring the fight to it, to root this out of our life. And here's the thing is, like that area in Yosemite that went up in flames, our church, it'll be ugly for a while. But from that can blossom something even greater. So I think our call this week is to try to recognize, where is that sin in our life? What do we need to root out? Where is that dead wood that is piling us down? Because if we freely remove that, if we freely take the fire to that, then we too can become those great sequoia trees. We too can be those saints upon which the church of the 21st century will be built. We too can be formed from the flames of what is going on right now. I believe that is every single one of our calls. I believe that is who we are called to be. We're called to be saints. So this week, let us take the fight to that dead wood. Let us root that out of our lives so that we can become the saints that we are called to be.